This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, U.S. President Donald Trump addressed the World Economic Forum at Davos yesterday, following his delayed arrival from Washington, D.C. And during his address, he backed down on threats to take Greenland by force, saying that option was off the table, before striking an agreement with NATO later in the day, which he says meets his demands on security and minerals. In a moment, we'll get full analysis from Sam Kiley. But first, during his speech, President Trump said he did not believe other NATO allies would be there for them if the US invoked its mutual defense treaty, despite the fact that he would defend them. And that has been shown because of this.
They're not there for us on Iceland, that I can tell you. I mean, our stock market took the first dip yesterday because of Iceland. So Iceland's already cost us a lot of money.
Which is probably news to Iceland, considering Trump wants Greenland. Now, about 10 minutes earlier in his speech, he did get the country right when he was talking about World War II.
We saw this in World War II, when Denmark fell to Germany after just 6 hours of fighting and was totally unable to defend either itself or Greenland. So the United States was then compelled. We did it. We felt an obligation to do it, to send our own forces to hold the Greenland territory. And hold it we did, at great cost and expense. They didn't have a chance of getting on it, and they tried. Denmark knows that. We literally set up bases on Greenland for Denmark. We fought for Denmark. We weren't fighting for anyone else. We were fighting to save it for Denmark. Big, beautiful piece of ice. It's hard to call it land. It's a big piece of ice. But we saved Greenland and successfully prevented our enemies from gaining a foothold in our hemisphere. So we did it for ourselves also. And then after the war, which we won it big. Without us, right now you'd all be speaking German and a little Japanese, perhaps.
And the irony of that is that that's what they speak in Davos, a German dialect, and German is an official language of Switzerland. Also, he managed to insult Ursula von der Leyen and Friedrich Merz in the process, but also managed throughout a very rambling speech to insult just about everybody. Joining us now, Sam Kiley, World Affairs Editor of The Independent. Sam, good morning.
Morning.
Now, an extraordinary speech. It went on and on and on and on. And perhaps many of those present, this was their first taste of the weave from Trump.
Well, it shouldn't have been. I mean, these were world leaders, leaders of foreign affairs departments, world titans of industry, as they would be generously called. So anybody who was surprised by Trump's behaviour should get out more. But I think that really what they would have been stunned by is his, as you referred to there, his rudeness and his repetitiveness and his weird MAGA interpretation of history. And of course, his profligate use of non-facts as facts. It's almost, I was watching that speech live and fact-checking it internally in my own head with the stuff that I knew off the top of my head, but there was a lot of stuff I couldn't keep up with, but I basically knew that it would be mendacious. But I think ultimately what he's come out with this, though, is it seems that overnight NATO, Mark Rutte's NATO gave him an opportunity to kind of climb out of the tree somehow with what he's saying is a deal that would be satisfactory to the Americans. The Danes, for whom Denmark and Greenland, of course, are part of the same kingdom, are saying that we don't have a deal, we don't know what the deal is, and we are opposing any violation of our sovereignty. What Trump's done there is have another one of those rounds of talks about a country without the country being present. We saw that with Ukraine many times in the past, and now we're seeing it with Denmark.
However, it does seem as if Mark Rutte, and he was the one who called Trump daddy famously and embarrassingly, Mark Rutte probably said, listen, this is what we can deploy as NATO allies. Denmark's part of NATO, and we can do this and make sure that Greenland is secure. And as you say, it gave him a chance to tackle. Trump always chickens out, and he was able to chicken out with a shred of dignity intact.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the problems here is that whoever's advising Trump lives entirely in the magosphere of disinformation. So, for example, the idea that only America can protect Greenland, at least in the short and medium term, is not true. Only NATO can do that. The Americans don't have any of the capabilities required right now to protect Greenland. They don't have any of the ice-breaking capabilities, any of the high Arctic capabilities. They do have submarines, but so does the rest of NATO. NATO has armed forces, with the exception of aircraft carriers, more than equal to what the Americans have. And North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the clues in the name, Canada, the United Kingdom, Norway and others are absolutely central to the ongoing protection of the American eastern seaboard and those sea routes. So it may have been an opportunity for Mark Rutte to actually do a bit of a reality check with Donald Trump. I could imagine him getting some maps out and some pictures of aeroplanes and explaining it to the president as what the reality he faces, rather than a schism or a collapse of NATO, which would overnight have rendered the United States more vulnerable, not less.
Now, there are all sorts of subtexts to all of this. I'm not sure if you were reading about the last time Denmark sold territory to the United States in 1917, I think it was. They sold the Danish Virgin Islands. And one of those islands was Little St. James, which is which island? I won't ask you to guess. It's the Epstein Island.
Well, there is a synergy there, isn't there? I mean, let's hope that they haven't got plans to turn Greenland into an enormous winter St. James. But I think that the issues now really are that this has been a gigantic distraction from the threat to the Western Hemisphere that Donald Trump says he wants to defend, and that is from Russia, which has already invaded the Western Hemisphere. But I think we're seeing a lot from President of Finland. I've just been listening to the German Chancellor in Davos. We've got a lot more energy now behind the Europe has got to go it alone and form alliances. And Mark Carney was saying this, Prime Minister of Canada, that Europe has to stand together and separately, effectively, from the United States, which has now proven itself an unreliable ally. And that is a rebalancing that in some ways Donald Trump would welcome. But what it does do, which he hasn't yet realized, is gigantically reduce the level of power and influence that the Americans can exercise, both in Europe, but also projecting power elsewhere in the world.
Now, it does seem as if his face is firmly looking backwards at some sort of glorious industrial past, rather than, you know, embracing the digital age, besides the tech bros, because he talked about one of his favorite topics, which was windmills. Have a listen to this.
There are windmills all over Europe. There are windmills all over the place, and they are losers. One thing I've noticed is that the more windmills a country has, the more money that country loses and the worse that country is doing. China makes almost all of the windmills, and yet I haven't been able to find any wind farms in China. Did you ever think of that? It's a good way of looking at it. They're smart. China's very smart. They make them. They sell them for a fortune. They sell them to the stupid people that buy them, but they don't use them themselves.
Now, that's extraordinary because China is responsible on its own territory and offshore its own territory for 40% of the world's total wind generation. So that kind of stupidity is bewildering.
It is bewildering, but I think it does illustrate, and this is something that we've all got to understand about Trump and the megasphere, which is the environment in which every single one of his cabinet advisors and everybody lives in, is that they don't trust you and I in the mainstream media, and they don't believe any facts or any data that is contrary to the arguments that they wish to adopt. So somewhere he's picked that up on Twitter, on some disinformation probably created by a Russian bot in a bot farm, AI farm run by Putin. And he's run with it as national policy. And we see this time and time and time again. And it is very extraordinary watching the rational world try to deal with the irrational world, which is now the administration in Washington. And when reality gets through, every now and again, one can redirect the policy, but the entire thrust is in the wrong direction. He also sneered at countries that had given up on their empire and their imperial past, hinting, you know, that the United Kingdom, France, Holland and others who had overseas territories which they either were forced to or agreed to give up was a mistake. I mean, it was a straightforward, outright pledge, if you like, to continue with his colonial project, which is to expand the United States territory. And anybody who thinks that that may not make sense is making a big mistake. It doesn't matter that it doesn't make sense. Donald Trump is very likely to continue to want to do it.
Now, the lies just continued throughout the speech, and I'm sure you were conscious of what he said about NATO, that he paid 100% of the bills, they paid nothing. And then this thing about NATO not coming to anyone's aid. The only time Chapter 5 has been invoked was by the United States after 9/11, when they went into Afghanistan with NATO's forces helping, and the Danes lost per capita more people in that conflict than did the Americans.
Yeah, I mean, it's grotesque and it's deeply insulting and it's ahistoric. But again, he is being misinformed. That is a really basic piece of data that you could pick up in a cursory use, an independent use of the internet. But if you're getting all of your information from Truth Social and lunatics within your own organization, they're only going to tell you stuff that is nonsense, and then you believe it. Donald Trump is easily manipulated in this way. At a person-to-person level, I know from the security and intelligence services in this country and elsewhere in Europe, American senior officers are mortified by this because of the very heavy price in blood and treasure that people paid for the response to 9/11, which was when Chapter 5 was invoked by the United States, when their country had been attacked but not invaded. Contrast that with the Falklands War, where the Americans stayed out of it. The Brits did not invoke Chapter 5. The Americans were pretty unhelpful when British territory is invaded in the Falklands. So the Brits could have invoked it and didn't then. But in the case of after 9/11, it then unleashed the War on Terror, which has arguably been one of the major strategic mistakes of the late 20th century. In fact, not arguably, it absolutely was, at least the way it was conducted.
Now, there's a story going around, I don't know whether you heard it, about the row that happened at a dinner on Tuesday night where Christine Lagarde walked out after remarks that Witkoff made.
Do you mean Witkoff or Lutnick?
It was Lutnick. Wasn't it Howard Lutnick? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, again, this was Howard Lutnick, the you know, cabinet-level representative of the United States, insulting the Europeans with bizarre, we don't know exactly what he said, but we do know that there was heckling, that people walked out, that the guard walked out, that others protested in the moment. Everybody seems to have tried to draw a veil over it, but you've got this bizarre bully boy arrogance. We saw it with J.D. Vance at the Munich conference almost not quite a year ago, next month it will be. when he was saying that, you know, the strategic problem they had was Europe. Now, this is now firmly in the American national security strategy, that Europe is failing, that it is being overtaken by non-Europeans, and by that they mean essentially people of color, and they're endorsing the great replacement racist conspiracy theory that holds that white Europe is being overtaken by hordes of people from elsewhere. That's why, you know, we had that reference to British cities being overrun from West Africa. All of this is racist, all of this is nonsense, and all of this is firmly believed by people who on paper should be intelligent, rational human beings.
The extraordinary thing is, Sam, when you think about it, you could imagine a meeting of all the great North American, Native American, Indian chiefs saying, we are the great replacement theory. All these Europeans with white faces are coming to replace us. And that's what happened.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't do irony in Trump's America, that's for sure. But it is deeply sinister because it is deeply racist. And by the way, it's being replicated on a much more sinister level inside the United States, where you've seen the deployment of ICE as a federal security force that's acting almost with complete impunity. The courts, they're simply ignoring court orders, ignoring constitutional realities, sporting bizarre outfits that are reminiscent of Hugo Boss's designs for the Gestapo. I mean, the whole thing is like in watching real life Gilead unfold in reality. I mean, it is quite shocking, and it is very interesting to see how the Europeans and others are going to be able to figure out how to deal with this. Yeah. It does seem that when you stand up to Trump and push back, he might back down, or he might get an opportunity to get some rational reality into his mind. But when people acquiesce, they certainly get rolled over.
Now, we saw Gavin Newsom and his contributions at Davos, you know, complaining about European leaders not having a backbone. Well, they've grown some backbone since those remarks by Gavin Newsom. But there are other Americans there, too, who really understand what Trump is and really are determined to do something about it. For example, the governor of Kentucky, he's a Democrat, Andy Beshear, and he gave his thoughts on Trump's speech to Ed O'Keefe of CBS News.
The president's speech was dangerous, disrespectful, and unhinged. The president spent an hour plus disrespecting our allies, calling them names, even doing fake voices for them in private conversations. He called some of our allies dumb to their face and specifically called out leaders who have been great friends to the United States of America. We are less safe when people believe that the United States isn't committed to the NATO alliance. We are less safe when we push Canada, one of our strongest partners, away from us and towards China. And then just the rambling and the random stories, calling Greenland, which he believes is so important, Iceland, numerous times, makes you wonder.
It makes you wonder indeed. I mean, he is failing. His faculties, be they physical and mental, are now on display to the world as being in decline. But whether or not the Americans themselves, who really have the responsibility to deal with Trump, whether they can do it or not, Sam, is still an open question.
Yeah, I mean, this idea that his faculties are failing, I don't think they're failing. I think they've been like this a while. I mean, if you look to his campaign speeches in 2016, he was openly making racist comments. He was mocking people with disabilities and neurodivergent people he mocked. This is a man who has contempt for all humanity. And I don't think that is new, nor is he's never been coherent. He's never made any sense. I remember as making television packages and really struggling to find something you could clip up that made any sense. You could generally get the sense from what he was generally saying over a period of 5 minutes, but woe betide you if you tried to find a 30-second clip in which he could sum up what his intent or position was on anything. So, I mean, there is lots of kind of discussion over his cognitive decline and his sanity, but that has been around since he was elected first time round.
Finally, I suppose we should look at the other international developments. I mean, inviting Putin to join his board of peace in Gaza is bizarre, and also shows a cordiality towards Putin that is not shared by many people. And then Ukraine, they say they're at the end game. And the line is, if both sides want peace, we can have peace. It's very close. But if not, what?
Well, I mean, this will be, if both sides want peace, based on a deal that entirely reflects the minimal Russian position. In other words, again, when we've seen these comments come time and again, it will be the Ukrainians that will almost inevitably be blamed by the Americans for failing to agree to hand over at least 20% of their country to an invading army. I mean, the Finnish president has pointed out that actually, the problem here is that the Russians are in such trouble in Ukraine, and it is going to cause such ramifications when they finally withdraw that they can't, the Russians or Putin's regime can't afford to go politically to agree to peace until they've committed some maximalist demand, or they just sit there and indefinitely carry on with this conflict. So I think the whole window of debate here is in the wrong place. We should not be debating how can the Ukrainians help to be able to lose less badly and be a little bit more secure in a future dispensation, when the reality is that the Russian army has been held up by the Ukrainians and the Ukrainians alone. And therefore, if they got a little bit more help, they could win and they could crush that army. And then the rest of Europe could start to get at its own independent military capabilities up to speed to make sure that this never happens again to another Western democracy, which is what Ukraine is.
Sam Kiley, World Affairs Editor with The Independent. Sam, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.